Hello, I'm Jan van der Made and welcome to this edition of International Media. And in this edition, we'll have a look at what happened in two Asian countries, Cambodia and India. On Wednesday, Indian activists, politicians and journalists demanded a full investigation into the murder of Gauri Lankesh, a newspaper editor and outspoken critic of the Hindu Nationalist Party, whose death has sparked an outpouring of anger. The 55-year-old Lankesh was shot dead by three unknown gunmen on a motorcycle as she entered her home in the southern city of Bangalore late Tuesday. She was known as a fierce critic of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's right-wing government. The Editors Guild of India said her death was an enormous portent for dissent in democracy and a brutal assault on the freedom of the press. And he called for a swift and thorough investigation. S.N. Sinha is the president of the Indian Journalist Union, and I phoned him in his office in New Delhi for a reaction.
It was a gruesome murder of a journalist. And it happened because of her writing against the people who are in the power, because she raised voice against them. Normally, this is the job of a journalist. She always raised voice or questioned the people who are in the ruling side. It doesn't depend what party they are, but whenever journalists raise questions to the ruling class, they never like it. But it never happens if they kill a journalist. So we suspect this is a killing of a journalist because of her questioning the authority. And this is something very serious.
As a journalist union, what will you do to protest against this?
No, in India, in this new phenomena we have seen, a lot of journalists have been killed in India in the last 25 years. More than 70, 80 journalists have been killed. But they have killed from different reasons, by mafias, by bad elements, but not for this political reason. So that's a new phenomenon, and we are always demanding from our government to come out with a special law to protect journalists, which has been passed by the United Nations also. They also told them, all of the country, to must come out a special law to protect journalists, which is a very important thing. If journalists are protected, then only democracy can be protected. So that is what we are demanding. We are pushing for that.
Now, what signal does this give to journalists in India?
No, this is a dangerous signal. But I can tell you, Indian journalists, we are always ready to fight back. We are not going to silence our voice because of this. And this is what we always call upon to all our journalists. Ask more questions. You have to raise questions, because that is the job of a journalist. You have to raise questions to the authorities, for the people. That is your job. They can't silence us by killing us.
Now, India has a historically poor record on journalist safety, although most deaths occur in remote rural areas away from the major urban centers. But critics of Modi's government say dissent is being stifled as nationalist sentiment grows in this biggest democracy in the world. In April, Reporters Without Borders, the press freedom group, says 25 journalists have died in India since 2010. Before her death, Lankesh was a target of right-wing trolling on social media and had complained of facing what she called rabid hate that made her fear for free speech in India. Last year, she was found guilty of defaming a lawmaker from Modi's Bharatiya Janata Party, or BJP, in an article she wrote in 2008 about alleged corruption. She was in the process of appealing against the conviction when she was murdered. And now to Cambodia, and last Monday saw the latest edition of the Cambodia Daily. That was one of Cambodia's last remaining independent newspapers. The newspaper announced on Sunday it was closing after 24 years of non-stop publication. Cambodia Daily said it was slapped with a $6.3 million tax bill, which its publisher said was politically motivated. Now I phone to Deborah Crisher-Steele, the co-publisher of the newspaper, and ask her for a reaction.
I'm heartbroken, of course. I'm very sad after 24 years of producing, you know, an excellent newspaper that it would be shut down and we can't provide this service anymore to the public.
Now, according to you, what was the exact reason that the Cambodia Daily was shut down?
I think it's a thinly veiled, you know, political move, but a tax bill. And I don't know where they got this tax from. They pulled out numbers from thin air and said, here, you owe this money. It was an unaudited tax bill. They said you owe this money from 2006 to 2016, and you must pay $6.3 million in 30 days. And then they leaked it on their government-aligned website. So it's a very abnormal situation. Usually if you get a tax bill, it's private. They don't tax you back 10 years. They don't leak it to the media and keep talking about it. It's very unusual. And also you get the time after the 30 days to have an audit, which usually takes several months. So we didn't get that chance. They just gave it to us, and they told us we have to pay it in 30 days.
What do you think is the real reason that they close it down?
I can only speculate. I mean, it's you know, I can only speculate, and maybe I shouldn't speculate. Maybe I should just let people connect the dots of what's happening around this time, and they can conclude. If there's any connection, I think there's a connection to the many things that are going on. The closure of 19 radio stations, the inability of VOA and RFA, Voice of America and Radio Free Asia, to broadcast on FM stations. The arrest of the opposition leader for treason. And then us.
What is now going to happen with the journalists and other staff, supporting staff, which has been working there for many years?
Well, they don't have a job anymore, so they're all out of a job, and they will have to find new employment. And it's a very difficult and traumatic time for all of us. The rug was pulled from right under us very quickly and suddenly. So we're still very much in shock and trying to figure out what to do. But everyone is trying to find ways, I think, forward.
Are you thinking about opening something else, or do you think it's too risky?
I don't think it's possible. I don't think we could do this. It's actually amazing that we were able to produce this honest newspaper for 24 years. And we were always not expecting, but we were always prepared for it to shut down by the government. And so, you know, our newspaper is on A4 paper, A4 size paper. It's very small. And the reason was if the government tried to shut us down, we would produce the paper overseas and fax it into key locations in Cambodia. That was why it was produced on A4 paper.
The announcement of the closure of the Cambodia Daily came hours after the opposition leader Kem Sokha was arrested and accused of treason. The Cambodia Daily was set up in 1993 by veteran American journalist Bernard Crisher. After the genocide in Cambodia from 1975 to 78 and the subsequent civil war, it published in English but also carried some articles in the Khmer language. Crisher sold the paper to his daughter, Deborah Crisher-Steele, whom you just heard, in April. And with that, we end this edition of International Media. Don't forget to tune in same time next week. And from me, Jan van der Made, goodbye.